A sermon on John 18, 33 through 37. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." The word of the Lord. May the peace, love, and grace of the triune God be with you all. I have had a difficult last few weeks. Difficult emotionally, difficult pastorally, difficult in learning to live into my own vicar skin, difficult in finding my way in and amongst all of you, my new community. I think I need to share with you that I hear and feel all of you and this whole community at a very heightened level. I'm perceptive and intuitive in that way. I take in all of the underlying emotions and feelings, and I connect deeply with them. Sometimes you might not know that, but I want to share with you that I do. Don't let my poise and confidence hide the fact that I am a deeply feeling and emotional human person, more sensitive than what I might at first present outwardly as. And this is a gift because it allows me to connect with people. It's also why I have gut feelings and can read the room, something I've learned to trust more and more as I've aged into myself. I'm also a deep thinker. There isn't a situation or circumstance that's been presented to me that I have not thought through at all the different angles, mulled over all the outcomes of each decision, and listed out the pros and cons for each, all before I even dream of taking any action. You will grow to learn these things about me, I know, just as I will be privileged to learn about how you process personally and how we do so collectively as a community. But I wanted to express these things to you about myself to you sooner rather than later, because it's becoming more and more evident that this community won't trust me unless they know me. You won't trust me until you know I care about you. And although I already care about you, the entire community has to see, hear, and feel it for themselves. Just as Pilate said to Jesus, "Your own people handed you over to me. If you are to be my people, I want you to truly know who I am. Not to hand me over," I'm not saying that, "but to engage with me and with our journey together from that firm foundation. To stand together and for each other on the side of truth, knowing each other in our truth and for our collective truths." So, what does it mean to be on the side of truth? I guess one way to explore this is for me to share a few of my truths about worship and worship spaces with you. I'm sure many of you have noticed changes in this sanctuary. It might even feel a different way, and some of you might have some strong feelings around all of that, and that is okay. The Lutheran church that we're a part of is definitely a liturgical church, meaning we do things in worship as a ritual. Many value this type of worship. I know I do. And some people can't connect with it or dislike it for all its ritualism. And that's okay too. There are plenty of non-liturgical churches in the world that might better light your fire and spark your relationship with God. If liturgy doesn't float your boat, the Holy Spirit will flow through you, I know, in maybe a different atmosphere. But for me, I feel like there are places and spaces in the liturgy that light that Pentecostal fire in my heart. Preaching is one. Hearing the word and meditating on it is another. Eating at the communion meal and my prayer time afterward. And as I have shared often with some of you, I love the blessing at the end. What part of worship service would you mark as those entryways for you to your faith? Is it the music or the prayer or the sitting together in this space? You might have noticed that the altar and the area around it is held sacred and is honored as sacred worship space during my worship leadership, especially during Sunday worship and when the table is set with the communion elements. In fact, in order for me to even preside at that table, I was synodically authorized by our bishop, Lori Larson Caesar. I am what is called a psalm, a synodically authorized lay minister. This step was required because I am not yet ordained. That is why you might also have noticed that I do not wear a stole, because the stole is the symbol of the office of the pastor, the yoke that you take on at ordination. I will wear it for the first time at my ordination. So I have chosen instead to brighten up my worship appearance by wearing different colored cinctures, that rope I wear around my waist, and a pectoral cross along with my alb. The alb is a reminder of the baptismal clothes that I wore and also of the role of one that I am playing during worship leadership. The altar rail, the entire chancel area is also a place of holy honor. It is why you will see me bow, why the acolyte bows, why we respect this space for the sacred space that it is during worship. It becomes the focal point, the area that if we were in the round, we would circle around together. We don't sit and lounge and throw things across the altar or the altar rail. We cover and care for the communion elements as they're placed before, during, and after. All these pieces are key parts of my piousness and my theology of worship. We are not here to worship these things, but we are here to allow this space to be weighed down with sacred holiness. Remember, the veil that divided the people from the holiest of holies in the temple was torn in two at the moment of Jesus' death. We are present here and amongst. We are asked to eat and drink Christ at the very table that we have right here, up here, together in community. Praise be to God. There is also movement during worship, almost like acts in a play, to be with the people down below for the readings and the prayers and the singing and the greetings and the blessing. There is the breaking open of the word from up here in the pulpit. There is the preparing and sharing the meal from the altar, the coming and the going and the sharing of the peace. We gather, we wash up, we eat, and we go back out into the world, hopefully renewed in our faith, renewed in ourselves, and renewed in our connection with our own community. And if I had my way, it would be high church every day at every hour, the louder the organ, the better, the incense filling the room. But I digress a bit into my Catholic tendencies. And I love that we are not afraid to come up in this community and use the font to anoint our heads with water in remembrance of our own baptism. And I absolutely love, love, love the remembrance candle lighting up here in the candle box. It's a beautiful part of this community's worship ritual and the inheritance that I hope to take with me wherever I go next. This is already a gift you have given to me. No future church of mine will be without a candle sandbox, and I thank you for that. For me, this space is the one place in the entirety of my week where I can be fully present, slow down, and engage my faith heart. Everyone should be safe here. Everyone should be welcome here. everyone should be sustained here, or at least have the opportunity to be. Now, I am not saying you will agree with everything that comes from this pulpit. That is not what it is for. And if I wasn't causing some stirring of the spirit, I would not be doing what preaching should always do: engage, challenge, defend, renew, share, and release the good news. The good news of grace, love, and salvation for everyone. Everyone. My challenge to you is to pay attention to the things which cause you the most difficulty, even more so than those few things that you might nod in agreement with. It is this holy tumult where you will find the Spirit and the gospel. And yet, is all of that I just shared truth? Kinda. Is all of that required for you to have a relationship with God? No way, no how. Is all of what I shared a way to help people enter into a space mentally, emotionally, and maybe even physically to be more open to that relationship? In my opinion, and as part of my pastoral guidance to you, yes. A full-throated yes. If it helps you connect to God, do that thing more and more. If it distances you from God, try something else. Now, there are pieces of this liturgical way of being that are standards for not only our Lutheran denomination, but also the standard of church worship in 2021 in the Western part of the Western world. The church has changed. And will continue to change as we learn and live into the living faith that is Christianity. And it's also kind of fun to think that as Lutherans, we could walk into a Lutheran church anywhere on this planet and at least feel partially at home. That connective piece is what makes choosing a denomination important to some people. It is, in fact, one of the reasons I remain a Lutheran. That and a whole lot of love of paradox and the grace piece, and of course the fact that I think we have the best coffee drinkers in the world. But outside of those, my personal relationship with God is entered into because God keeps coming back and finding me in this liturgy. And I keep realizing being in the God flow is a wonderful place to be. When I can be still enough to let it just simmer. I'm in that flow with you right now. Can you feel it? Now, the synod says, I'm your vicar. My seminary says, I'm your vicar. Your official documents say that I am your vicar, and I call myself your vicar. And what is the truth in those statements? What does that mean to you right now? It means a whole lot to me. It will always mean a whole lot to me. But what it doesn't mean is that I ever stop being your sister in Christ, nor do you stop being my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am asking you to trust me as such, as your vicar, yes, but more importantly, as your sister in Christ. In my leadership responsibilities, things can and will get lonely. And I'm prepared for that, but I would hope that no matter what, my sister in Christ responsibilities to you will never feel lonely to me. We must be brave together to do for each other better than we might even do for ourselves. That is why we wear masks, isn't it? For others, and for the others that we don't even know. You hate masks. I hate masks. We would not choose to wear masks if we had that choice. But I cannot stomach seeing another person die, alone, hooked up to an ECMO machine, family unable to touch them or even say goodbye, to die in darkness, in the absence of any conscious awareness of those around them, strangers or not. I can't stomach that for a stranger. How could I possibly stomach that for any of you who I deeply care for? How could you ask me to do that? How can we ask each other to put at risk those who we hold dear? Look around you. Can you pick out the person I will go and see through that glass partition or an iPad screen? Who will I pray for? And they don't even know I'm doing so. What if it is you? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you I don't have any more places to put death like this in my heart. I don't have it in me for strangers. I don't have it in me for you and yours. No matter what you believe about the virus or vaccines or masks, at least hear the message that we can't play a dice game with each other. COVID comes for what COVID wants, and COVID takes. I have seen it. It took a 35-year-old mother who died before she even knew she gave birth to her beautiful baby girl. It took a 65-year-old grandmother the day before it took her 40-year-old daughter and left a granddaughter without women to raise her up. It took a 95-year-old. It took a 40-year-old man who just celebrated his first year sober. It took a 20-something promising author and poet who just moved out on her own. It took a mother of four and a man who never had his own kids but was a father to so many. And the most tragic taking is the little piece of the hearts that are taken from each ICU nurse and doctor who loses another patient over and over and over again. Fight like hell just to lose them, over and over and over, day after endless day. We have lost almost 1 million Americans, 5 million people worldwide. So this tiny list that I carry in my heart isn't even close to the list that God carries in God's heart. That is what truth looks like in 2021. And we still have a long journey together before we hear different truth stories. You see, we're on this journey together. It is a tough time to be out on this journey, and change is difficult. Misunderstandings and new understandings take time to move through, but if you know me at all, you know that I am always pushing forward, pushing us to step forward into our better selves. We can't go back. The way is not back. Jesus, as our guide, never leads us back. He challenges us to ask, "Oh, really? Could it be otherwise?" So I leave you with these thoughts. Flags on the chancel, could it be otherwise? Masking for each other, should it be otherwise? Being authentically welcoming, how could we be otherwise? And working together, is there ever any otherwise? The answers to these questions are out there in front of us, brothers and sisters in Christ. Grab my hand. I will grab yours back. And God has us all in God's hands. Let's go find those truths. Let's go testify to them, because they are and always will be the truth. And we, as Christians of the Lutheran variety, confess we know He who is the truth. Thanks be to God. Amen.